Three cults roll into position and link up next to white letters on blue. The works.
One, two, three.
The Film Consortium presents Bright Young Things in association with the UK Film Council and Vision View and Icon Film Distribution. A flaming torch flickers and blurry red party lights gleam. A Revolution Films Doubting Hall production of a film by Stephen Fry. Bright Young Things. A boxy 1930s car pulls up outside a grand townhouse lit up in red. Party guests in sumptuous costumes cavort on the drive, entertaining the press pack who are peering through the railings. Emily Mortimer, Stephen Campbell Moore, James McAvoy, Michael Sheen, David Tennant, Fenella Woolgar, Dan Aykroyd. Flashbulbs pop as photographers by the main steps snap incoming guests who hand their invitations to two footmen in devilish costumes. A Weasley press hand, Sneath, is standing outside the railing smoking. He sees an invitation flutter onto the drive amongst the melee. It's red and yellow and has Inferno written on it. Sneath grabs a rope and grappling hook and dashes round to the back of the house, throwing the hook over a parapet. Sneath clambers over the wall, dumps his coat and hat, and passes through a gate onto the drive wearing a black DJ. He pretends to be doing up his shoelace, seizes the fallen invitation, and hurries over to the entrance. A curtain and crossed axes part before Sneath as he enters the bacchanalian depths of the Inferno, which is suffused throughout with bright red light. Jim Broadbent, Simon Callow, Jim Carter, Stockard Channing, Richard E. Grant, Julia McKenzie, John Mills, Bill Patterson, Nigel Planer, Nicholas Le Prevost. Two men in animal costumes pour at a third who is wearing a fully ruff around his neck, and a young woman dances wildly in a pair of devil's horns. The dandy in the ruff snorts cocaine, Sneath whips out his camera. Imelda Staunton, Harriet Walter, Angela Thorne, Margaret Tysak, Alex Barkley, Simon McBurney, Guy Henry, Alec Newman and Peter O'Toole. The dandy in the ruff calls to the girl in the horns.
Nina!
Miles!
Adam, not back yet.
What?
Adam, not back yet.
Any day now.
Isn't this too dull?
I've never been more bored in my life.
Drink.
I'd kill for a martini.
Spot of absinthe?
Yes, at least a spot.
Miles minces up a winding staircase in his harlequin costume and ruff. Nina leaps and twirls in front of a live jazz band with other frenzied partygoers. Screenplay by Stephen Fry, based on the novel Vile Bodies by Evelyn Waugh. Sneath follows Miles up the stairs. Down below, a showgirl shimmies on the glitter-strewn floor. Sneath is stopped by a handsome young man wearing a jacket and bow tie.
I know you, don't I?
Lord Balcan, how are you?
Very well. I know you, but I don't know.
Simon! It's been the longest day. It's business or pleasure?
Business or pleasure. Adam not back yet?
Any day, Paul Lamb.
I'll just,
They watch Sneath go.
Who's your ferrety friend?
Lord knows. What a foul party, though, eh?
Isn't it? I was just saying to Miles, I don't think I've ever been so frantically bored in my life.
Miles, here. You're
supposed to be fetching me a drink.
Oh, now, dear, he really should be more discreet.
Sneath photos Miles with his arm around another man.
Oh, I've just remembered where I've seen that. There's a man before. He's a bloody photo rat. Let's get him.
A rat! A rat! Let's get him, a bloody photo rat!
Sneath realises he's been rumbled and heads out quickly, pursued by a throng of baying partygoers. He makes it out onto the drive and with a quick look over his shoulder runs through a gate and bounds over a balcony, landing in the street below. He turns and takes a cheeky snap of his pursuers who have gathered by the balcony railings. His photos illustrate the Mr. Chatterbox page in the Daily Excess. The headline reads, "Feeding time at the zoo for the bright young things," and mentions the dishonourable Miles. A Channel ferry cruises towards the white cliffs of Dover in the sunshine. On board, a smart young man, Adam Symes, is looking around him. On an upper deck, girls wearing angel costumes are playing a game.
Keep your hands still. Not too hard. Not too hard. Just
me,
you're such a coward.
Ow!
Black smoke pours out of the funnel. Adam leans on the railing and looks out to sea. One of the angels is sick. It falls on Adam below them. Adam hurries to his cabin and tries to wipe the vomit from his short, dark brown hair. Blobs of sick have landed on a manuscript and on a framed photograph of Nina. Adam grabs a towel and dabs the vomit from the cover page of the manuscript, entitled Bright Young Things, by pseudonym. He then wipes Nina's photo. Adam packs the manuscript in his suitcase as the gangway is lowered. The angels flock after an American woman in a red fur-trimmed coat. Porters scurry. Adam approaches a customs officer.
Are you okay, sir?
Girls, how many parties?
Just some very old clothes and some books.
Books, eh? And what sort of books, may I ask?
He opens the case.
Fortitude, right, I forbid you to pounce.
Particularly against books, the Home Secretary is. If we can't stamp out literature in our own country, we can at least stop it being brought in. Hello, hello. What's this?
That's a book too. One I've just written.
Your name's Sue, is it? Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
That's a pseudonym. Pseudonym.
I can read, thank you very much.
No, you don't understand. It's sort of a joke. Pseudonym, pseudonym. Nom de plume.
And what's this?
Vomit. It was an accident.
You come along with me, Briggs.
Sir?
I really must catch the train.
There's worse things than missing trains, young Susan.
The paparazzi snap Adam being hauled into the customs and excise offices.
Ghastly Sanders!
Books, sir. Goes by the name of Susan.
Well now, what's this about books?
Just books.
I'll be the judge of that. Thank you.
The woman in a hat.
Adam, darling.
Hello, Agatha.
I never saw you on the boat. I can't tell you the things that have been happening to me in there. The way they looked. Too shaming. Positively surgical, my dear, and such wicked old women. I shall ring up every cabinet minister and all the newspapers and give them the most shy-making details. Let's find the train.
Oh, I've got troubles of my own.
Well, now, you can take these books and the dictionary, minus this page. Thank you very much. But this Bright Young Things, that's just downright dirt and is marked for burning.
What? There isn't a word in the book. You must be misinterpreting.
I know dirt when I see it, or I shouldn't be where I am today.
Do you realize my whole livelihood depends on that book? I've already been paid for it.
And my livelihood depends on keeping filth like that out of the country.
Archie Schwartz's giving a lovely party tonight, so we simply have to catch the next train, or I shall not have a chance to dress.
Archie who?
Oh, you poor thing. Never been waiting here all this time.
She poses, later in a cab with Adam.
I don't know what Lord Monomart's going to say. I suppose he wants his money back.
The press is getting altogether too bothersome. Except when they aren't. Now, you won't forget to come to Archie Schwartz's party.
Well, I've got to get to my hotel. And...
You're not still staying at Shepherd's, are you, darling? So many little people. What can they all do with their lives? And when are you and Nina going to get married? I have just the trousers to wear, only you won't do it.
Well, I'm not sure we'll be able to. Just here, we'll be fine. Thank you, driver.
Darling, if you don't marry her soon, someone else will. And that will never do.
Take Lady on Grove Street and drop my luggage off at Shepherd's Hotel, St. James's.
Right, sir.
Bye, darling. See you at Archie's.
Adam stares up at the towering Daily Excess building. Adam buys a paper and looks inside.
Chatterbox tells all. Shocking pictures. Shocking pictures.
Inside in Lord Monomark's office.
London, Adam. There's no place like it on God's green earth. Yep. Quite a city. For the first 20 years of my life, the biggest town I ever saw or hoped to see was Necessity, Manitoba. Population 1,230 souls. Now here I am, prince of the greatest metropolis the world has ever known. Gives a man to think, wouldn't you say?
Certainly.
Certainly. You're right there, Adam. Certainly. Now, I believe you owe me a book. A little late in delivery?
Ah, well now, the customs confiscated it.
Now, see here, you owe me £100 or one book.
Well, I suppose I could write it again.
Was it good?
Well, you know.
Don't ever believe English modesty is charming. It's irritating, is what it is.
It was exceptionally good.
What is it with you people? I have plenty of you working for me. Lord Balcairn, genuine Earl, does my gossip for me under the name Mr. Chatterbox. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know.
A friend of yours, I suppose. Bright Young Things, that was the title, right? Tearing the lid off the young, idle, and rich? My readers can't get enough of that kind of thing, Mr. Symes. I put Signor Mussolini on the front page, nobody buys a copy. Put a picture of one of yours set in a nightclub and can't print enough copies. Are you a butterfly or a bee?
Excuse me?
Do you want to flit around looking pretty, doing nothing, or do you want to make honey? I can't figure you out. Your father worked for a living. A Greek professor, wasn't he?
Well, a professor of Greek rather than a Greek professor.
He'd never get cute with someone you owe money to. What do you want to do with your life?
Well,
win the Nobel Prize? Raise children? Smoke a pipe? Climb mountains? Fly airplanes? Find the cure to influenza? Govern India? Hell, God gave you two legs and an immortal soul in the capital city of the largest empire the world has ever seen. You gonna spend it eating plovers' eggs and sucking up cocktails?
Adam gulps hard. Nina, who has bobbed curly brown hair, skips through her light, elegantly decorated flat in a dressing gown and answers the phone.
Miss Blunt's residence.
Hello? May I speak to Miss Blunt, please?
I'll just see if she's in.
Who's speaking, please?
Adam Symes.
Oh, Adam.
How are you, Nina?
Well, I've got rather a pain just at present.
Poor Nina. Why were you putting on a voice?
Thought you might be Madame Duroc.
I owe her some hats. Welcome home, my darling. Where are you?
Fleet Street. Darling, there was rather a disaster at customs.
Yes, I know. Agatha called me. She said they simply stripped her.
No, not that. Something awful happened to me.
You too? Were they horribly intimate? That's me at Archie Schwertz's party, and you can tell me all about it.
Who is this Archie Schwertz?
Oh, someone new. Rather vulgar, but very rich.
If you are coming, don't dress up. No one will. Except Archie, which is always too funny.
Nina, I don't know how to say this, but I don't think I shall be able to marry you after all.
Oh. Adam, you are a bore. Why not?
They confiscated my book.
Beasts? Who did?
Adam's in a payphone.
I'll tell you about it tonight.
Yes, do. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, my sweet.
Nina puts the phone down, a little rocked by Adam's announcement. Adam crosses the road to a taxi.
Shepherd's Hotel, St. James's, please.
Adam checks his change.
Actually, I think I'll walk.
Adam strolls off down the street. He walks into the Shepherd's Hotel.
Take through, fairy princess. Don't let me catch you wearing that scent again.
Her waiter.
You are a stranger.
Hello, Lottie.
Welcome back. How's your father? Dead? Oi, Bella! Mr. Fenwick Symes, post, if you please.
Adam takes a glass.
I don't know. I should let her go, really. She's wearing Nuit de Noël, would you believe?
Thank you, Basilia.
It's a pleasure.
We've given you up for dead, dear. How was Monte Carlo?
Can.
Same thing. We kept your room for you. I expect you're ready to pay your little bill now.
Well, as a matter of fact...
Come on in. We were just thinking about having a little drink.
Gentlemen are gathered in a parlour.
Well, now, let me introduce you. That's Mr. Wass's name. And over there in the corner, that's the Major. And that's an American judge. And there's the King of Pomerania.
Anatolia, actually. But, alas, no longer.
Poor chap, it's a shame. I gave him the boot after the war. Hasn't got a penny.
It's true. They steal my throne.
There now.
My godfather, the good Archduke of Austria, gave me one time gold fountain pen with eagles on him. I loved well my gold fountain pen. And then there was liberal minister, one man of exceeding evilness. He come to talk with me and thump and talk too much about some things I not understand, and when he gone, where was my gold fountain pen with eagles on him? Gone also.
Oh, damn shame, sire. A damn shame.
There now. How about a drink?
A young fop, Ginger.
Yeah. But you can't do this.
He shows Adam.
Four coins. One on each corner. Two there. Two there. Two there. Two there. Two there. Oh, three there. Oh, four. Four coins, all on a corner. There you are.
Of course.
Do it again if you like.
It was a clever boy. Where'd they teach you that, then?
Chapman Train showed me.
It didn't look very hard.
Just you try. Hey, anything you like, you can't do it.
How much will you bet?
Anything you like. £500?
The Major lowers his paper.
Go on, you do it. He's got lots of money.
All right.
Adam sets out the four coins and uses his hands instead of two cards to cover them.
So, two there, two there, two there, three there, four there. There
you go. I'm cheered. Don't see anyone do it like that before. I've won a lot of money this week with that trick. There you are.
Well, I'll be.
Ginger hands over the notes.
Well, there's a thing. I'll bet you like to buy everyone a drink now.
Certainly. Toss you for it. Double of quits, best of three.
Ginger fiddles with a coin.
Very well. Heads.
It is. Call again?
Heads.
Oh, I'm jiggered. You are a lucky chap.
Ginger pays up. Adam calls Nina, who's dressed to go out.
Hello.
Nina, it's Adam. Darling, it's all right about our getting married. I've got £1,000.
But Angel, how?
I'll tell you about it when we meet.
Adam saunters back into the parlour.
Well, now, what would you all do if you had £1,000?
Me, I would buy me one gold pen with eagles on him.
I know what I'd do. I'd put it on a horse.
What horse?
I'll tell you a likely outsider for the November handicap. Injun Runner is a 20-1 and the odds will lengthen. You put £1,000 on it to win, and it did, you'd be rich, wouldn't you?
Yes, so I would.
Well, give me £1,000 and I'll fix it.
Adam looks to the others in the parlour who gaze back at him.
All right. Why not?
Sound investment.
Have a drink.
By all means.
He calls Nina.
Darling, I've got a very important question to ask. Do you know of a horse called Indian Runner?
Oh, quite the worst sort of horse. Mary Mouse's mother owns it.
It's not likely to win the November handicap.
Quite sure not, you know. Why?
Oh, bother it, Nina. I don't think I should be able to marry you after all. You see, I'd put that £1,000 on Indian Runner to win.
Well, that was silly. Can't you get it back?
That's a good point. I'll see.
Dinner gong yet? Oh, where's that fairy princess?
The Major's chair is empty.
Lottie, where's the Major?
What Major? I never saw a Major.
The one you introduced me to.
How did you know he was a Major?
You said he was.
I did, child. I've never seen him before in my life. Yeah, we must all go up to dinner. I should go up with you, King.
I'm not feeling very hungry, to be honest. In fact, I'm feeling a little...
Well, you hurry through to the gentleman's. The last man to be sick on that carpet was King Edward VII, and I gave him what for, I can tell you.
Adam leans over the sink in the gents and stares at his own sweaty face in the mirror. Adam's with Nina at Archie Schwartz's do. Partygoers revel in glittery fancy dress.
By the way, why didn't you tell me it was fancy dress? I feel such a prune.
I forgot.
Simon Balken and Jimmy Vanbrugh.
Oh, look, Agatha. Usually worth a couple of paragraphs, but my editor's got her on the front page tomorrow anyway. Cussing's nonsense.
And Adam's back. Not that he's worth a mention.
Look, there's Simon and Van. Writing about us, I bet. Hopefully they write something nice. Van described me as England's premier party animal last week, honestly.
That's Adam Symes. He looks so dashing. Everyone looks dashing, don't they? Dashing is a new thing. Oh, I wish I was as sophisticated as Agatha Runcible. It only takes a little titanium on the cheek and a little less eyebrow. I can pluck them for you if you like. Really? Really, really? Oh, would you?
I can't believe I managed to let him drag me from the customs like that. Now I've got Lottie's bill to pay and we can't get married.
There's always my papa. I believe he's much richer than he looks. I'd ask him to give us some money.
It must be Adam. Archie Schwert.
Such a wondrous party, Archie. You are too clever.
You should certainly win the costume prize.
Archie's wearing tails and a bow tie. He grins and goes.
Adam, you hideous ass. That's how Archie always dresses at parties.
Orchid. Stop. New paragraph. Simon, comma, the Earl Balken, comma, dressed as a most unconvincing Duke of Wellington. as in boots, yes.
Vanbrugh phones in a report.
Might be worth sending a few photographers over.
Leaving the party.
I think they're after Agatha.
You know, her father made the most crushing speech about customs officers in the House of Lords this evening. Several bishops burst into tears, apparently.
It's that dreadful Simon Bolkern, I swear he tips them off. Where are we going?
3:30, Lottie will be closing now. How about the Ritz?
Oh, talk sense, dearest, not while I'm dressed like this.
I'd say my house, only I've lost my key, which is just too bogus of me.
Why don't you all go on to my house?
The gang stare at the gauche young Jane. Later, they're in an ornate dining room.
So that's agreed, then. You can go up to Doubting tomorrow, and I'll wire Daddy and tell him you're coming.
Will he like me, do you think?
Oh, how couldn't he, with you being so sweet and everything?
Why can't you come, too?
I already told you I have a pain.
Jane and Mary with a trolley.
Bacon and eggs, everybody! Champagne!
Having the oddest house. Do you think there are any glasses?
I just don't know where Daddy keeps them. Such a bore, darling. So sorry, darling.
Well, it is rather farouche drinking from decanters, after all.
What strange ancestors you have, Jane. Also serious looking. It's as if they're gazing into my soul and finding something rather horrid.
Well, they probably are.
I say, Mary, what do you know of your mother's horse, Indian Runner?
Oh, Adam, don't even think about it. Mummy says it's a donkey. Do you know Jane Brown?
How do you do, Miss Brown? So sweet of you to have us all round.
Oh, no. Such a pleasure. I often do have some bacon.
Thank you.
Oh, I say, Jane, it will be all right me staying here tonight, won't it? Only my latchkey.
It'll be fine, Agatha, darling. Quite fine.
Do you have a piano, dear? I have a strange longing to play something crimson and obscene by Busoni.
Or a rag. Do let's have a rag.
I'm not sure. My father's asleep upstairs. He might...
Oh. How boring.
I saw some creme de menthe in the kitchen.
What good's creme de menthe, child, when I wanted a piano?
Only the piano's on the first floor.
I don't suppose anyone has any naughty salt.
We must go.
There might be some in the kitchen, but the bacon's quite...
No, dear, naughty salt. Mother might just have some in her compact.
Miles pulls out a compact.
Miles is being beastly and upsetting poor Jane. Besides, you've got to look all pretty and frisky for my papa.
Nina leads Adam out. The butler at Jane's residence retrieves the morning papers from the front step. A policeman guarding the door steps back into place. The butler takes the papers into a room where Jane's mother is presiding over Jane and her sisters at the breakfast table.
And how was Mr. Schwartz's dance, Jane? Did you have a good time?
It was just too divine.
Lady Brown stares.
It was what, Jane?
I mean... It was lovely, Mama. I say, Mama, I asked a girl to stay the night.
What an extraordinary thing to do. Did she accept?
Yes. She's here now.
Morning, all. The right room at last. Do you know, I popped into a study or something. There was a sweet old boy sitting at a desk. He did look surprised to see me. Was it your papa?
And this is Mama.
How are you? I say, I think it's simply too sweet of you to let me come down to breakfast like this. Are you sure you're not furious with me?
She's in an Arabian costume.
All of this is really much more embarrassing for me, isn't it? Don't you think? Or don't you? Would you like to help yourself?
Jane's father, Sir James, comes in.
Martha, the most extraordinary thing. I must be losing my reason. I was in my study just now. I was just going over my speech and... Then suddenly the door opened and in came some sort of dancing Hottentot woman. And it just said, "Ew, how shy-making," and then disappeared, and I turned...
He spots Agatha.
Oh. How do you do?
And this is my husband. I don't think you've met before.
Only for a second.
Agatha gives a little wave.
Martha never told us we were having guests. Forgive me if I appeared a little... inhospitable.
Sir James sits down.
Oh, why doesn't somebody say something?
Oh, look. Monocle. Jimmy Vanbrugh's column. It's got the front page. Midnight orgies at number 10, it says. What a scream. Shall I read it to you?
Agatha puts down her plate.
At about 4 a.m., the policeman posted outside the Prime Minister's residence was surprised to witness, isn't this too amusing, the arrival in Downing Street of a fleet of taxis from which emerged a gay throng in exotic fancy dress. How I should have loved to have seen it, can you imagine? Amongst those present was the Honourable Agatha Runce. Oh, that's me. What an extraordinary thing.
Agatha stares at Sir James.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Begging your pardon, Sir James, Mrs. Proudfoot wants to know why there is talcum powder on the table in the cabinet room.
Talcum powder in the cabinet room?
Well, it looks like talcum powder, but it doesn't smell of it, sir. Mrs. Proudfoot was wondering if it might be anarchist gunpowder and should we send for the army.
Oh, dear, this is really all too shattering. I think perhaps... Don't see me out. I shall write the tenderest thank you letter, I promise.
Agatha is photographed leaving number 10. Adam's reading the headlines in the back of a taxi.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. They need a good bloody war, if you ask me.
Excuse me?
That looked jiggering and jazzing about like Mexican beans. The sound of guns and the smell of gas. That'll soon stop all that. Disgusting.
I should imagine it is. What? The sound of guns and the smell of gas. I should imagine it is disgusting.
No! Them!
Ah.
Parasites.
Is Doubting Hall much further?
About half a mile.
The taxi trundles down a long drive and pulls up to a once grand, but now a little shabby, sprawling country house. The one-armed taxi driver gets out in the light rain and opens the door for Adam.
Shilling a mile, 15 bob.
He juts out his chin and holds his hand out for the fare. The driver seems unimpressed by Adam's payment. Adam rings the bell pull. Adam looks about him, then reaches for the bell again.
Don't ring twice. What do you want?
Good afternoon. Is Mr. Blunt in?
There's no Mr. Blunt here. This is Colonel Blunt's house.
I'm sorry, I think the Colonel is expecting me to lunch.
Nonsense. I'm Colonel Blunt.
The door shuts in Adam's face. Adam watches the taxi depart and steps back up to the bell.
Yes?
Would you mind awfully if I just telephone to the station for a taxi cab?
I'm not on the telephone. Why don't you come in? It's absurd to walk to the station in this 15 miles, for God's sake. Are you mad? Come about the vacuum cleaner, have you?
No.
Hang your hat and coat here. I hope you haven't got wet. Shame you didn't bring your vacuum cleaner. Can't be helped. How are you?
The Colonel offers his hand.
Do sit down. I must read this cable. I'd quite forgotten it came this morning. Oh, dear. Don't think me discourteous, but I'm afraid it's impossible for me to ask you to luncheon. I've a guest coming on intimate family business. It's some young rascal who wants to marry my daughter.
Well, I want to marry your daughter, too.
What an extraordinary thing. I'm sure.
Well, perhaps the telegram is about me. What does it say?
Engaged, marry, Adam Symes, expect luncheon, Nina. Are you Adam Symes?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you say so before, since we're going on about vacuum cleaners? How are you? Mrs. Florin, lay a place for Mr...
Symes.
Symes. Better give him his own decanters, Mrs. F. Can't be passing up and down all the time.
A cluttered table.
So you're the young fool who's going to marry my daughter.
I very much hope so, sir.
How much money have you got?
Well, I had £1,000 last night.
Decanters are served.
I gave it all to a drunken major.
What do you do that for?
Well, I hope to put it on Indian Runner for the November handicap.
Never heard of the animal. When will you next have some money?
Well, when I've written some books. You see, I owe Lord Monomarch for an advance, and until I get it written, we rather hoped that you might help us.
How could I help you? I've never written a book in my life.
No,
we... Wrote a letter to the Times once, never published.
We thought that... Well, that you might give us some money.
thought that, did you? I think that's an admirable idea.
I don't see any reason why I shouldn't. How much do you want?
Well, you know.
Would £1,000 be any help?
Yes, it would. Indeed. We'd both be terribly grateful.
Not at all, my dear boy. What was your name again?
Adam Symes. Oh. Fenwick Symes.
You were Fenwick Symes at Oxford.
My father.
He wasted all his money on horses too, or was it women? Damn! Books!
The Colonel hands a cheque to the delighted Adam. Adam bursts into Nina's elegant flat, dances down the stairs, and leaps over a chair. He dances over to a table, grabs a perfume bottle and sprays his neck. Nina lingers in the hallway watching Adam dance around with a short feather boa and wrap it around a statue's neck. Nina watches, smiling, as Adam whirls around with a fur wrap in his arms. She cursed cold water
too. Daddy, why are you dancing like that?
Nina, I'm so excited.
Why? What's happened?
Everything. I'll tell you in the car.
Come.
The lady at the hotel has lent me some money, so I've hired a car.
What have you done, darling? Do stop dancing about.
Can't stop.
Adam, you tight.
Look out of the window and see if you can see a limousine. Wait.
Adam, what have you been up to? I will be told.
He pulls out the cheque and hands it to her.
My dear, £1,000. Did my papa give you that? I mean, I'm not dressed for dinner.
He escorts her to the limousine.
I'll look after this cheque. Poor Adam.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I say what a grand car.
Nina, why did you say poor Adam?
I don't know.
They climb in. Adam talks into a tube.
I don't know. Chichester.
Oh, darling, not Chichester. It's sure to be full of awful Chichester people.
Brighton.
Do be serious.
They say Arundel's very present at this time of the year, sir.
Arundel. What fun.
All right, then. Arundel.
Headlamps shine into the back of the limo.
We'll be married tomorrow, and we won't ask anybody to the wedding. Oh, blast.
What is it?
I've forgotten, Balkan's taking me to luncheon tomorrow. We're going to have to wait till the afternoon to marry.
Simon, whatever for? I'll take you to Shea Espinosa and you won't get a thing to drink.
Oh, I don't know. He wants a favour.
Help? Writing Mr. Chatterbox, probably. Oh, but I can't possibly marry you in the afternoon either. I'm having my hair done. You can't have forgotten it's Margot's party tomorrow.
He looks into her eyes.
I don't believe you really think we are going to be married, Nina, do you? Or do you?
Yes, I just... I don't know, I just... I don't believe that really divine things like that ever do happen. I don't know why.
She looks down. Adam moves closer.
Oh, I do like you so much tonight.
Send the car back at Arundel and get a nice early train in the morning.
Oh, darling, am I going to be seduced?
I'm afraid you are. Do you mind terribly?
Not as much as all that, but...
They kiss as the limousine drives over the Albert Bridge, which is covered in lights. A view across woodland to Arundel Castle. A paperboy strolls down a street with the castle at the end of it and drops papers off. In a hotel room, Adam emerges from the bathroom brushing his teeth. Nina's in bed.
And you said really divine things didn't happen.
I don't think it was at all divine. It's given me a pain. And now that it's morning, I've got something horrid to tell you.
I don't think anything can ever be horrid ever again.
It's about that cheque my papa gave you. Don't think it's going to help as much as you thought.
That's £1,000, isn't it?
Just look at it, my sweet.
Adam tosses his toothbrush aside and leaps onto the bed.
I don't see anything wrong with it. Oh, good Lord, the old fool signed it Charlie Chaplin.
That's what I mean, darling.
When did you notice the signature?
As soon as you showed it to me last night. Only you look so happy dancing about in my flat all by yourself, I didn't like to say anything.
The old devil.
Anyway, at least you've had some fun out of it, haven't you, or haven't you?
Haven't you?
Darling, I've never hated anything so much in my life. Still, as long as you enjoyed it, that's something.
Adam's with Simon in Shea Espinosa.
Charlie Chaplin, eh? That's rather priceless. I don't suppose I could use that in my car.
No, certainly not.
No. thought not. Look, I hope you don't mind coming here. It's, truth is, I get meals free if I mention them occasionally in my page. Not drinks, unfortunately. Alphonse, who's here?
The maitre d' shows Simon a list.
Yes, sir, not a bad list. I'll see who I can mention.
Thank you, my lord. Would you like a table? Cocktail?
No, I don't think I want a cocktail. I haven't really time. Would you like a cocktail, Adam? They're not very good here.
No, thanks.
You sure?
They're shown to a table near the kitchen doors. Simon eyes Adam's cigarette case, and Adam offers him one.
You're always sticking at this bloody table. The lager beer is rather good.
The lager will be perfect.
Two small glasses of lager, please.
Certainly, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, true.
Simon's grateful.
Oh, look, that's Brown, isn't it? The Prime Minister just leaving.
Yeah, I rather think it is.
I wonder if he's going to resign after the early night. It was bloody typical of Vambra to get that juicy story about Agatha at Downing Street. I mean, why couldn't Miles have tipped me off instead? Just because I wouldn't let him, you know, in Oxford. God, what a cat Miles is. Adam, his mother's got a party tonight, hasn't she? For that evangelist, Mrs. Melrose Ape. Are you getting
it? I think probably.
Adam, I'll tell you a very odd thing. Margot hasn't sent me an invitation.
Why not?
Well, apparently she's in a rage about that picture of Mars in my column and all those nasty hints, even though I had nothing to do with it.
People do take things so seriously.
Adam, I tell you, it means ruin. Isn't that Pamela Popham?
I have the faintest idea.
No, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure it is. Now, tell me, is that what you call a cloche hat? I got into terrible trouble the other day about hats. Agatha was raving.
Simon looks up from his pad.
Ruin. I mean, Margot's invited Jimmy Vanbro, of course. Oh, yes.
Van's a cousin, isn't he?
Well, so damned unfair. I mean, all my cousins are in lunatic asylums, or else they live in the country and do indelicate things with wild animals. If I miss this party, I may as well put an end to it all. I'm sure if Margot only knew how much it meant to me, she wouldn't mind my coming. Nobody invites me anywhere now.
I tell you what, I know Margot pretty well. Why don't I ring her up and ask if you can come?
Would you? Would you, Adam?
Margot snorts coke.
Nothing. Really, I can't understand what the young see in this. These new crazes are simply inexplicable. Hello?
Margot, it's Adam.
Adam, darling. Now, don't tell me you're going to cry wolf.
No. I just wondered if I might bring someone with me.
Well, I really don't think you can. I can't imagine how everyone's going to get in as it is. No, Chastity, darling, not red, not at your age. It suggests all the wrong things, don't you feel? I'm terribly sorry, Adam. Who are you thinking of bringing?
Simon Balkan. He's terribly anxious to come.
Yes, I dare say he is. I'm rather against that young man at the moment. Oh, heavens. No, you can't bring Simon. He's been writing things in the papers, things about my son Miles, which are beastly.
Please, Margot.
Certainly not. I won't have him inside my house. I only asked Bamber on the strictest understanding that he doesn't write a word about it. Mrs. Ape will be addressing everybody about Jesus. It could all be too shriek-worthy a disaster to think of. Absolutely not Simon, of all people.
Adam puts the phone down and gazes across the table at Simon.
You needn't tell me, I can tell.
Two of my butterflies at once. Got your invitation to Lady Maitland's ball tonight, Balcarn?
Of course, Lord Monomarch.
You've been scooped by Vanborough's Lord Monocle column too often. Maybe I should give Chatterbox to Symes here. He owes me.
I assure you, Lord Monomarch.
Be careful who you write about. I'll be there myself.
Lord Monomarch strolls away.
Oh, God. Done for.
Nina and Adam stroll to a grand house past illuminated fountains.
Oh, poor Simon. I hope he doesn't do something desperate. So intense about everything.
Well, you know why.
Why?
He's lonely. He's been in love with you for years.
Love. All this fuss about love and sleeping together. For physical pleasure, I'd sooner visit my dentist any day.
It isn't so bad, though, is it?
What?
Love.
Well, perhaps it's a thing one could grow to be fond of in time. Like olives, I suppose, or talking pictures. Still, it gives me a pain, and I doubt it's worth it.
See? Angels come down from heaven to bless us.
Mrs. Ape's girls wave from the balcony in their angel wings. The lavishly attired guests are gathered in a grand hall decorated with towering floral arrangements. Two dowagers gossip on a sofa. Nina pulls Adam through the crowd to find Agatha and Miles. Po-faced cleric Father Rothschild spots Simon ducking through the crowd wearing a fake beard and curly wig. Simon tries to hide his face as Mrs. Ape's angels file in. Lady Margot Maitland rings a bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're very lucky to have with us, fresh from her tour of Europe, her salvation tour of Europe, Mrs. Melrose Ape and her angels of the glad new day.
Girls, ain't no flies.
Ain't no flies on the Lamb of God. He's smarter than a whip. He rules us all with an iron rod in his firm but tender grip. Jesus.
An old man sitting next to Miles spots him sniffing something from his silver compact. He nudges Miles, who hands it over. The old boy snorts some cocaine like it's snuff.
So don't you mess with the Lord.
And looks somewhat surprised by the results. Father Rothschild is with Lord Maitland and Sir James.
Forgive me, Maitland. That man with the beard. You know him.
Isn't he something in the Foreign Office?
Sure, I've seen him somewhere before.
Exactly. Prime Minister, there are spies everywhere. I think it would be better if we watched him. He looks Slavonic.
They turn to watch him. Simon pulls open some sliding doors and slips into a lamplit study. He takes a hefty swig of his drink and gets on the telephone.
Yes, hello. Central 4000, please. Yes.
Rothschild, Maitland and Sir James come in.
Hello. Didn't know you were here, Father. I just thought I'd use the telephone. Goodbye.
Stay exactly where you are.
Simon slips over.
And take off that beard.
Damn if I do.
Take off that beard!
Well, if you will make such a thing about it. It hurts frightfully, too, if you knew. There. Now I think you should go and make Lady Thring take off her wig while you're about it.
I seem to have overestimated the gravity of the situation.
Who is this? Where are my detectives?
That is Mr. Chatterbox.
Never heard of him. Don't believe there is such a person. He's clearly a Bolshevik spy.
Lord Balkan, will you kindly leave my house immediately? My wife has made it abundantly...
Lord what? Is this young man called Chatterbox or is he not?
Lord Monomarch is here this evening. I shall certainly inform him of your behavior.
He writes for the papers.
Oh, God. Not another... It's a conspiracy. Yet a disgrace to democracy, sir. Europe is going up in flames, and all you can do is send photographers around to my home to distress my wife and family. In another age, I'd have had your horsewhipped on the steps of your club. I'm being forced to resign because of you and your kind.
Gentlemen, Prime Minister.
Simon bows.
Good night.
Simon opens the sliding doors, then turns back to them.
I sincerely apologize.
He gazes at the three disapproving faces.
But to hell with you all.
Simon marches away. Miles is moving through the hall, taking cocaine from his compact. The old boy taps Miles on the shoulder with his cane, and Miles offers him the compact again. Dressed in purple silk, Mrs. Ape addresses the throng.
Brothers and sisters, just you look at yourselves. Look inside yourselves. Deep, deep inside yourselves, beyond the glister of your parties and the saucy blaze of your jewels.
What a damned impudent woman!
Impudent am I? Is it impudence to look upon sin and call it by its rightful name? Impudence to gaze upon Babylon and shriek down curses? Impudence to look upon your souls and see nothing but a black, empty void? Beautiful young people, that's what they call you. Beautiful young people, well, one out of three ain't bad, I guess.
I say that's rather good.
Why won't you listen? The lives you lead aren't real lives. The steps you dance are the devil.
Thank you, Mrs. Ape, for most nice...
Lady Maitland holds out her hands to help Mrs. Ape and the girls off the makeshift stage as a jazz band drift in from the sides. The hall fills up with jiggling bodies as the partygoers dance the Devil's Steps with gay abandon. Adam pulls Nina onto the dance floor and Agatha watches them join the fun. Simon treads heavily down some stairs and away along a dark alley. In his dimly lit flat, he's on the phone.
Hello, Central 4000, please.
Simon drags on a cigarette. He climbs the stairs to his bedroom and sits, turning on a lamp.
Central 4000. Hello, Balkan here.
Putting you through to social, my lord.
No, I don't want social. I want news.
News, my lord? Are you sure you don't want social?
No, yes, news. News.
Connecting you.
Thank you.
Simon stands and peels off his jacket, his cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Lifting his head, he unfastens his white bow tie, then sits again, pressing the phone back to his ear. Laying the phone down again, he struggles to remove his high, stiff white collar.
Anything.
He picks up the phone.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Balkan here. Stick one of the boys on to take this down, will you?
The most shocking orgy since the days of Sodom and Gomorrah rocked society last night.
Hold the presses. Get down to compositing. Now!
The junior scarpers.
The vulgar evangelist Mrs. Melrose Ape proudly revealed that her angels were no more than underage adornments on sale to the highest bidder. Meanwhile, tears coursing down her face, the Honourable Agatha Runcible, whose repulsive liaison with the Prime Minister shocked the nation this week, bewailed her quote, ruined, bogus, vapid, bogus and worthless life, unquote.
Images of the party.
Yes, two bonuses.
Lady Maitland, shrieking of her terrible dependency upon cocaine powder, threw off her Schiaparelli ball gown and stood naked upon the dance floor, an example quickly followed by old and young alike until only the servants remained clothed. A grotesquely hairy Archie Schwert, swinging naked from the chandelier, screamed that all his money derived from prostitution and the opium trade. Lady Maitland's son, Miles, howled and confessed to an intimate beastliness involving five guardsmen of the royal household, two marines, and a bricklayer from Huddersfield.
Nina dances.
Nina Blunt. Nina Blunt.
Simon gazes at a photo of her.
Grasped her stomach, screamed she was a whore, and misquoted several lines of Lady Macbeth, whilst Adam Fenwick Symes cried on heaven to bear witness to his talentless penury and hopeless illiteracy.
Adam dances happily with Nina.
Never, never, never have such scenes been witnessed in high society, that uneasy alliance between bright young things and old survivors. Perhaps this was the defining moment of our epoch of speed and syncopation, the so-called 20th century of angst, neurosis, and panic. Reader, be glad that you have nothing to do with this world. Its glamour is a delusion, its speed a snare, its music a scream of fear. Faster and faster they swirl, sickening themselves with every turn. The faster the ride, the greater the nausea, the terror, and the shame. Stop.
The spinning image of the lavish party freezes.
Yes, that's it.
Good night.
The night editor continues to write, the junior leaning gleefully over his shoulder. Now standing in the kitchen, Simon hangs up. His hand remaining on the phone, he starts to chuckle. He saunters across the room, picks up a glass and drinks down its contents as he paces back across the floor. Putting down the glass, he turns, switching on the gas stove. The stove door is open. Simon crouches down and puts his head inside the oven. He lies on the floor, his head hidden in the shadows of the stove. He crosses his arms but can't get comfortable and lets them drop. He takes a deep breath. Formal invitations and black and white photographs are lined up on the sideboard. More are stuck to the wall. The photo of Nina is pinned next to a photo of Simon waving as he poses in his swimming trunks. A newspaper clipping pinned amongst the photos has the headline, Scott's estate with ghost has been sold. On the kitchen floor, his head still in the oven, Simon lies motionless. At Passmaster House, Mrs. Ape is reading the Daily Excess. Lord Maitland is on the phone.
Pilking, that you? Have you seen it? Of course I want to sue!
I want to sue too. I want to sue you, Margot. I want to sue Monomark. I want to sue this whole damn country.
How much? Well, am I covered?
I don't know, insurance against acts of God or acts of aristocrats. He was insane. He was upper class. He was English, for Christ's sake. You know why I sent for you? I need a new Mr. Chatterbox, and you owe me.
After this, surely you're going to have to close the column down.
Oh, are you crazy? We sold 100,000 extra copies this morning. I've had new advertisers on the telephone since 9 o'clock. No, no, the hysteria I can handle. And you're part of it. We take the initiative, make a story out of it. First thing we do is you write a piece. Last of the ball, Cairns. Pitch it strong. You knew the boy.
He was my friend.
Friend, don't hand me that, son. I'm offering you £15 a week. He was only getting 10. Next year, when you finish your book, it will be greeted with great critical acclaim by all my newspapers. And don't forget, I'm chairman of the Montrose Literary Prize. Award-winning writer, Adam Symes. Sound good? Meanwhile, you'll be getting expenses. Go to all the parties and race meetings and balls you'd be going to anyway.
The trouble is, I'm not allowed to write about anyone who was at Margot's last. I mean, half of them are suing. The other half have only agreed not to on condition their names never appear in the column.
You could always make them up, I suppose.
Make them up?
Half the people in the papers one's never heard of anyway. A load of soldiers and explorers and painters and composers and authors. Why not invent some new ones?
Say, that might be rather something. We could have the beautiful Imogen Quest. Heiress, adventuress, absinthe drinker.
Drug addict and insatiable lesbian.
Can't write that.
Could imply it.
Adam looks up at Nina.
Right. So, Imogen Quest. And how about the sinister Count?
Zeldorf.
Nudist. And...
he looks at the restaurant singer.
And Yodel. I say this could be rather fun. I could even make up fashions. If I can't get Archie Schwert to wear suede shoes by the end of the month, you can call me Deirdre in public.
Yellow suede shoes.
Adam makes notes.
Darling, you're a genius. And green bowler hats.
Copies of the Daily Excess spin round in a blur. A headline reads, "The Last of the Balkans." Wearing black tie and smoking a cigarette, Adam sits at his desk, typing away. He writes, "The late Lord Balkan, 23. Later, Adam makes a call with his article clutched in his hand.
Social reason. Science.
Back at the typewriter, he puffs away on a cigarette as he writes his next piece. Snatching the paper out of the machine, he hurries out of the Shepherd's Hotel. Superimposed over images of Adam dashing about, headlines roll. The ruin of a noble family. The curse of the clan Balkan. Our new Mr. Chatterbox admits a weakness. He can't keep a secret. Not from his loyal readers. Adam makes a call to the night editor, who writes everything down. Camera bulbs flash, Adam has dinner with Nina. A headline reads, "Yellow suede shoes, fad or fashion?" Another story, bottle green bowlers. Have the smart set gone too far? At the Daily Excess, the night editor hands some copy to the junior, who passes it on.
Copy!
Mr. Chatterbox's latest scoop, Zeldorf, sack chauffeur, tells of savage beatings. A story about Imogen Quest. Below the headline, a subheading, "The Isle of Lesbos." Adam is back on the phone.
Manchester races tomorrow for the November handicap. Stop.
Oh, my dears, this is the thismost of them all. To Manchester races tomorrow for the November handicap. Count Zeldorf, now romantically linked to man-hating Imogen Quest, Tiger Darling, feet off the table, I think, is expected to be there in one of the new green bowler hats sweeping society. Green bowler hat. Imagine.
Imogen Quest. Everyone's going on about her. I don't believe there is such a person.
Archie told me he'd met her, didn't you, Archie?
Imogen? Known her for years. It's cold and windy and I'm bored. Prentice, pack everything up. There's a chap.
Sir, we have to collect my winnings.
The gang are at the Manchester races.
Nina, I believe you know who Chatterbox is.
No, really, I don't. Do I, Adam?
No, I haven't a clue. Full of horrid feeling it might be you, Miles.
Adam, if only. I could so do the money. Oh, by the way, I do hope you're all going to come and see Tiger here and his darling little racing car winning the RMS trophy next week.
Oh, I say, can we?
I dare say I could get you in.
Could we be, how do you say, backstage?
I reckon so. You'll have to pretend to be mechanics. Only officials are allowed in the pit.
Oh, Adam, let's go. I love cars.
You look far too pretty to be a fast driver, Tiger. Oh, dear. Is that an awful thing to say?
Darling, he's not called Tiger for nothing. Behind the wheel, this cherub becomes a demon. Follow Mother!
Oh, such larks.
Agatha, Archie, Nina, Adam, Tiger and Prentice, the chauffeur, all follow the prancing Miles over to the bookmakers. Archie glances at Tiger.
Let's try it out. We can drive
drive us back to London. Prentice can make his way by train, can't you, Prentice?
Well, let's go back now then before it gets dark.
Miles collects his winnings.
Why isn't that young poltroon wearing a poppy?
Nina.
What, darling?
That voice.
She looks puzzled.
Never mind. Look, I have to stay, really. Mr. Chatterbox,
the big race is coming up.
Well, I'll stick with you then, darling. We can go down by train. Too much Agatha and too much Miles are just so... too much.
Whereas too much means...
it's not nearly enough.
Adam studies her face lovingly, then they hug. Nina furrows her brow.
I say, look, there's someone that's in a green bowler.
Where?
There.
Oh, Lord.
A young man strides past in a bright green bowler hat.
Oh.
Nina approaches a bookie.
Who should I bet on for the November handicap?
Too late, love. They're under orders.
Oh.
He wipes the horses off his board at 33-1 Indian Runner.
Nina.
Angel boy.
It's not really enough to get married on, is it? £15 a week.
I suppose you could always go and see Papa again. Now you're a successful journalist, he might take you more seriously.
She looks through binoculars.
Oh, dear.
What?
Number 7, isn't it too unbearable?
Number 7?
It's Indian Runner.
Adam grabs the binoculars.
Who ever even heard of Indian bloody Runner? Honest!
Oh my God, I was right.
£33,000.
Adam spots the Major.
My Major? My bloody Major!
Charlie?
Nina looks bemused as Adam races off. He flees the stand, careering down some steps and barging through the jostling crowd. The Major, wearing a khaki green hat and long grey overcoat, a poppy in his lapel like most of the other men around him, finds his way onto the racecourse and stands amongst the marching band. He conducts pompously, then salutes grim-faced. Adam charges on. Adam barges into a war veteran bedecked with medals. Meanwhile, the Major still stands on the racecourse, the band marching either side of him. Adam grabs a man in a khaki green hat and grey overcoat. It's not the Major. In a marquee, Nina sits with Ginger.
Look, Adam, this is Ginger. We used to play as children, and he's been planting tea in Ceylon, and I haven't seen him for simply years. Isn't that a thing?
Eddie Little, Tom. And I say, do call me Ginger, everybody does. Hang on. Don't I know you, then?
Shepherd's Hotel, you did a coin trick.
Well, dash me twice. Your friend won £1,000 on me. Very clever fella.
That £1,000 should now be £34,000. Do you remember me giving it to a drunken major?
Yeah, you won't see him for dust. Thought so at the time, didn't like to say. I know old majors. Yeah, they're thick on the ground in Colombo. Don't pay their bridge there, it's famous for it. Bad luck.
Look, I don't know about you two, but I'm just about fed up with racing. Why don't you come back to town with me? My bus is parked outside. I'll just settle up here.
Oh, Adam, let's.
Ginger goes.
Pots down in some pots. Gold coming out of his ears.
I thought we were going to stay up here and see your father.
Look, why don't you stay up and you can see my papa in the morning and then we'll dine together tomorrow night and you can tell me all about it. I've got bags to catch up on with old Ginger here.
Come on, then. What about tomorrow's Mr. Chatterbox? I can't very well write about a night at a Manchester hotel and a visit to your father, can I?
Well, why don't I write it for you? I'll be in London. I know just the kind of things you say.
All right, well, I'll wire tonight's through to the paper and you can do tomorrow.
He follows Nina as she trots out to Ginger's car.
Deuce bit of luck running into you, old girl. Last time I know anyone in the old world, man. Sitting around a shepherd's board in a gherkin tree. Where am I?
He reverses away. Adam looks round.
I was hoping to see you here, wanted a word. Now see here, Symes, I like your page, it's peppy. Lots of new names, it's got the intimate touch, which I like. I read it every day, so does my daughter. We haven't had one single libel action since you took over, which is fine. Now what's all this about bottle green bowlers?
Well, there are only a limited number at present, sir.
You got one? Let me see a green bowler.
Well, I don't actually wear one myself.
Well, where have you been seeing them? I haven't seen one.
There was a young man here earlier who...
One swallow does not a summer make, nor one hat a fad. And another thing. Count Zeldorf. I don't say he doesn't exist, but Ambassador von Ribbentrop doesn't know a thing about him. And I'm not in the business of offending Herr Hitler. So no more about him, and no more publicity for the restaurant Espinosa's. They made out my bill wrong last night.
Espinosa's is the only place where I...
Got those three things clear? Green bowlers, Zeldorf, Espinosa's. Tabulate them in the mind, my boy. 1, 2, 3. Keep it to a good memory. Tabulation.
Major.
Adam charges into a marquee and looks around. The Major's not amongst the drinkers inside, who eye him curiously. Adam frowns, confused. A taxi pulls up outside Doubting Hall. Adam climbs out. Night in a restaurant.
So, how is Papa?
Very amiable. 10,000 this time.
He hands Nina a cheque.
Greta Garbo. Mm. Oh, well. I don't bother about him anymore.
She drags on her ciggy.
By the way, I shan't be able to come to the motor racing.
What?
I promised I'd help Ginger find somewhere proper to live. He's fed up with hotel life, and you know how thieving and ghastly those house agents can be.
Tried to telephone you last night.
Well, darling, it was Rollo Littlemore's 21st, and I thought it'd be worth going for the sake of Mr. Chatterbox. You know, I think I make rather a good journalist.
What did you write?
A few things about Rollo being expelled from Eton, and then, of course, I put in lots of imaginary things, and...
What sort of imaginary things?
Oh, I don't know. I said I saw Count Zeldorf going into Espinosa's in a green bowler, you know, things...
You said that?
Yes. Wasn't that a good thing to say? I thought that's what you... Darling? Excuse me, monsieur. What's wrong?
Adam runs to the phone.
A central, 4,000, please. Symes here. Put me through to the night editor, please.
Got a message for you.
A message?
To put you straight through to his lordship.
No. Hang on a sec.
Symes?
Good evening, Lord Monomach.
Bad tabulation there, young Symes.
I'm awfully sorry.
I'm disappointed in you. Can't pretend I'm not. You're fired. And now, Mrs. Simpson, how can I persuade you to return to America?
At Brooklyn's Fair...
Mechanics, stewards, and family only pass this point.
We're family.
Oh, yes. Which car?
Tiger Labouchere. He's my husband.
He's your what?
My friend is confused, darling. Tiger is my husband. Look, there he is.
Miles gazes adoringly.
How dreamy he is. What is it about boys and goblins?
Hit 13.
Hurrah, my lucky number.
You should be in brassards by rights.
What's a brassard?
You thought that was fancy.
An open-topped car struggles up a hill. In the back, the Major.
Oh, I've been looking for you everywhere. I've been looking for you. Where's my money?
I can't hear you. Where's what?
My money!
It's no good. These infernal machines make too much racket. What's your name?
Adam Symes.
My boss, know your name.
Adam Symes.
He drives off. Miles.
Look, I'm the spare mechanic. How blissfully savage. Now, rules. You can watch from the pit on trackside. You're not allowed to hand me anything direct, but if I raise my left hand as I come through the pit, that means I shall be stopping next lap.
What does it mean if I wave this flag?
But you want me to stop. But Angel Botty, why should we want you to stop? Well, you might see something wrong with the car. Or one of the officials might want the number plate cleaned. Now, look here, Miles.
Tiger takes him aside.
Less of the Angel Botty. These people know me. Clearly they don't, darling. But don't worry, I shall be discretion herself.
Miles holds up a flag like a veil and flutters his eyelashes. Unamused, Tiger snatches the flag away. The race is started and the drivers run to their cars, barging into each other as they jostle to get behind the wheel first. The small cars, which are low to the ground and emblazoned with their driver's number, speed away. Miles, Archie, Agatha and Adam jog forward for a clearer view. The car veers off the road and explodes in a ball of flames.
Was that car supposed to explode?
It's a full year now since Henry Tiger Labouchere took the trophy from three-time holder
alongside a large black car, Tiger Motors passed in blue number 13.
Number 13!
Agatha, darling, you know, you really shouldn't have waved that flag.
My dear, how awful. Why not?
Well, it's blue. That means he's to stop next lap.
Lord, did I wave a blue flag?
My dear, you know you did.
How shaming. What am I to say to him?
Let's go away before they come back.
No, I think we'd better. Let's find that divine tent and have a drink.
Miles sees the Major.
Oh, look, there's your boyfriend again. Persistent, I'll give him that.
There you are! You know, I've been chasing you all over London. Where the devil have you been?
I've been staying at Lotsky's.
But you never heard of you. I've got to admit, I'd had rather a few too many that night, and to tell you the truth, I woke up and things were rather a blur. And then I found £1,000 in my pocket. No came back to me. Some covert lotties had given me his bundle to put on Indian Runner. As far as I knew, Indian Runner was no good. I didn't want to lose your money for you, but the devil of it was I didn't know you from Adam.
From Adam? That's rather priceless.
Neither did Lottie, apparently.
I don't mean to say you've still got my £1,000.
Well, on the day of the race, I didn't know what to do. One half of me said, keep the £1,000. Chap's bound to turn up sometime, and it's his business to do his own punting. The other half said, put it all on the favourite and give him a run for his money.
So you put it all on the favourite?
Well, in the end, I said, young chap must be frightfully rich. If he wants to throw his money away, it's none of my business. So I planked it all on engine runner for you.
Adam stares.
You mean?
I mean, I've got a nice little packet of 34 thou waiting for you to condescend to pick it up.
Good heavens. Well, look here, have a drink, won't you?
Ah, that's a thing I never refuse.
Archie, lend me some money till I get this fortune, can you?
Well, how much do you want?
Enough to buy 5 bottles of champagne.
Darling, just think what parties you could have.
In the grand marbled hall of a vast house, Nina's with Ginger and an estate agent. She starts to dance on the wooden floor.
How well your lady friend moves, sir.
Ginger's wide-eyed, in the drinks tent at the races.
Look here, old boy. Makes me feel an awful ass, but my note case was pinched in the crowd. Couldn't possibly lend me a fiver, could you? I'll give it to you at the same time I hand over the 34th hour.
Of course. Archie, lend me a fiver, okay?
Awfully good of you. Would it be all the same if we made it a tenner while we're about
sorry,
it?
I'm sorry, Ivan.
That's all right, old chap.
To get home.
Quite understand. Not another word about it.
Right.
Look, you roll along to the Imperial about 7 o'clock. I'll give you your money then. Can't get it off my chest.
The Major goes.
Wow, 34,000.
Auntie must powder her nose. Would Miles be a darling?
She takes her ciggy from its holder.
Lying down.
Using it to snort some cocaine. Meanwhile, on the racecourse, Tiger pulls into the pits.
What's wrong with your driver? Plunkett Fraser's just hold a spanner at him.
Oh, do you want to scratch?
Who's the spare? Who's the spare driver?
Oh, wait, it's me. It's on my arm.
Oh, are you going to scratch?
Certainly not.
What's your name?
Agatha. I'm the spare driver. It's on my arm.
Yes, I can see it is. All right, then, start off as soon as you like.
She's not.
No. Rules are rules. In your pocket, miss. In your pocket.
It's on my arm.
I say, Agatha, are you sure you're all right?
It says on my arm.
There's a good deal of Dom Perignon sloshing about inside you. You're quite sure it's absolutely safe.
Oh, absolutely safe, Adam. One of the very spanners, but I'll get quite a little first until I get used to it. Well, goodbye. Gosh, that's too scary.
Wearing a driver's leather hat and goggles, Agatha screeches away in the blue roofless racing car. The crowd cheer uproariously, big grins on their faces. Agatha rounds a corner, the tapered wasp-like tail of the car set between two large rear wheels. Agatha exclaims joyously as she veers between the cars ahead of her. She finds herself behind the big black number 15 and, glancing behind her, pulls past it screaming excitedly. She zooms on, but number 15 closes in, its headlights glaring. Agatha glances nervously behind her. Number 15 pulls alongside, and they race up a hill. As they round a corner, number 15 swings across and bumps her. She veers off the road, disappearing into the trees.
Well, good heavens, car 13 has veered off the course and seems to be speeding across 4-acre field. Great pity after setting a new course record.
Oh, my dears, that's lucky for me. A really good story on my second day as Mr. Chatterbox.
Where's that woman gone with my bloody car?
Oh, she's probably remembered a party somewhere. I expect you'll find it neatly parked and polished and pretty in Berkeley Square.
Shall we then? This motor racing is a bore.
I beg your pardon. I take the trouble to find you your...
Don't be stiff and pompous, Tiger, dear.
Tiger, we've had a splendid day. We've enjoyed ourselves immensely, but it's getting late and I have to be in town to pick up a fortune.
If there's so much as a scratch on her bonnet...
I don't think she was wearing a bonnet, to be honest.
You bloody people.
Tiger gets angrily to his feet.
Who the bloody hell do you think you are?
Tiger glares at them. Miles looks back at him, stony-faced. Evening. The sun hangs low in a pale pink and blue sky. A single-seater three-wheel car putters along a narrow country lane. As it disappears, Agatha bursts through foliage at the edge of a field and out onto the road. She whizzes off in the opposite direction to the three-wheeled car, meandering back and forth, an inane grin fixed on her face. Her cheeks flushed, she vanishes over the brow of a hill. Adam's in the lobby of the Imperial Hotel.
If you'd just like to sign in, Your Excellency.
Of myself, excuse me.
Sir, the telegrams, Your Excellency.
Using a gold pen with an eagle on the lid, the dignitary signs the register.
And your key.
Adam swipes the pen.
Major. My money.
Money?
£1,000 plus 33,000 in winnings.
Oh, there. Safe enough. Union Bank of London. Never put your money into anything that wasn't straight, old boy.
No, of course not. Very kind of you to have looked after it for me. Listen, you said you'd give me a cheque this evening.
Ah, that's another matter. I told someone I'd give them a cheque. And how do I know it was you? You might be a crook.
Look, I've got two friends waiting for me in the Palm Court who'll swear to you I'm Adam Symes. Will that do?
Might be a gang. Besides, I don't know what the name of the chap who gave me the £1,000 was. And then I got your word for it. Can I tell you what I'll do? I'll sleep on it.
I'll tell you my decision when I awake. Don't think me suspicious, old boy, but I've got to be careful.
He sits on a bench on a landing and snoozes. The dignitary searches for his pen. Adam meets Archie and Miles.
We've just heard. They found Agatha at Euston Station,
staring fixedly at a model engine in the central hall, apparently. The station master asked her name, and she just pointed to her arm and said she was the spare driver. So they've carted her off to a mental home.
What?
Did you, get your fortune?
The Major's too drunk to recognise me. He's just gone.
He's vanished.
To sleep.
Later.
You know, I saw that Major, but I'm afraid he may be bogus.
You haven't got any money.
No job, no money.
We shan't be getting married soon.
Not soon.
I see.
Well?
I said I see.
Is that all?
She glances round as though looking at someone.
Yes, Adam, that's all.
He looks hurt.
Sorry.
I'm sorry too. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Nina.
A male hand passes Nina a cocktail. In the Shepherd's Hotel lobby, Adam hangs up.
Thingamy, when did you last pay us, dear? I must make up that bill of yours sometime.
I expect you're right. By the way, Lottie, that foreign monarch, is he still staying here?
The King of where was it? Yeah?
You might give him this.
The gold fountain pen.
Uzi, but there is a telephone for Mr. Symes.
Thank you, Basilia.
Oh, Lord, it's mascara. What am I going to do with her?
Darling, I'm afraid I've got something rather awful to tell you. I'm engaged to be married.
Who to?
I hardly think I can tell you.
Who is it?
Ginger.
I don't believe it.
Well, I am. That's all there is to it.
You're going to marry Ginger?
Yes.
I see.
Well?
I said I see.
Is that all?
Yes, Nina, that's all.
When shall I see you?
I don't want ever to see you again.
I see.
Well?
I said I see.
Well, goodbye.
Adam hangs up. Nina looks upset as she puts down the phone. She's sitting down. Ginger leans over her from behind.
I told you it wouldn't be that hard, Uncle.
She cringes as he kisses her neck.
Don't do that, Ginger, darling. Your moustache tickles.
She looks sullen-faced as he pulls away. Daytime. Adam, smartly dressed and carrying a bunch of flowers, walks down the highly polished floor of an arched corridor in a psychiatric hospital. Beside him strides a nun, her starched white wimpole pointing upwards like horns. They pause and she points Adam into a room, separated from the corridor by thin white curtains. Adam steps inside and finds a pale-faced Agatha lying in a small iron bed.
Darling, I can't really see who it is. And there are some cocktail things in the wardrobe. Do make a big one.
She looks at Adam, blinking.
You look just like Adam Symes.
He kisses her forehead. He's perched on the bed, smiling gently.
How are you feeling, Aggie?
I'm rather odd, to tell you the truth. How's Nina?
She's got engaged to be married.
Ginger, I expect.
He goes to the wardrobe.
Darling, you're so sweet. Everyone guessed. Lots of money. Are you very upset?
Desperate, thinking of committing suicide like Simon.
Don't do that, darling. Too many people are disappearing. Did you get your money?
No, the drunken major's disappeared too.
He pours a drink from a tray of bottles.
Agatha, I have nothing.
He turns to look at her.
Smashed up.
He shakes his head.
All to pieces.
You know, all that time I was Dotty. I had the most awful dreams. I thought we were all driving round and round at a motor race and none of us could stop. And there was an enormous audience composed entirely of gossip writers and gatecrashers and Archie Schwert and bogus people all shouting at us to go faster. And car after car kept crashing until I was left all alone, driving and driving. And then I would crash and wake up.
Aggie, darling, how are you? Goodness, how gothic! How gloomy, how grim!
Opening the curtains.
Oh, my dear, how blind-making.
I bought some records in a funny little shop.
You are angelic. Do let's try them. There's a gramophone under the bed.
I saw lots of people at Margot's. Some are coming round, do you mind?
No, let's have a party. Never had a party in a mental home before, have we? Or have we? Have we?
Later, Agatha sits up in bed, bouncing to the music as Adam dances with Miles and Archie with the monocled Vanbrugh. Sunlight fills the sparse stone room. Smoke wafts from an ashtray, creating a hazy atmosphere. One arm round each other, the other held in their partner's hand, the couples twirl. Agatha holds her arms in the air, swaying them to the music, beaming. Adam and Miles, who wears sunglasses, smile warmly at each other.
Oh, I love it so much.
As the song finishes, Miles leans back in Adam's arms. Adam lifts his friend's sunglasses, revealing his red, tear-filled eyes.
Wonderful.
Again, again.
I think we need a little more.
I say, Miles. I'm so sorry.
Oh, so silly. Only it's the beastliest thing.
Adam stares at Miles with concern.
I've got to go now. Train, France.
Miles fights back the tears which flood his eyes.
It's so unbearably... unbearable. Tiger. Tiger of all people.
Tiger?
He left some letters for me lying around. The police have them.
Agatha still grins.
There's a warrant for my...
His chin trembles.
I can't even go and pack.
Hello, Aggie. I say.
Nina breezes in. Miles glances awkwardly at her.
Miles, what's up?
Goodbye, darling.
Miles strides over to Agatha and kisses her. He tenderly strokes her hair, then looks up.
Goodbye, Archie.
Miles eyes Vanbrugh.
You'll have a good story today, Van.
Wringing his hands, Miles steps up to Adam.
Adam.
The two men hug tightly.
Oh.
Adam hands him his sunglasses.
Sorry, Nina.
Miles goes to her, kissing her briefly on the cheek. He steps back and looks around the room.
Miles is in a scrape again.
He slips on his dark glasses and leaves. Nina frowns.
What's happened?
Everyone's going round and round and round. Keep dancing, everybody.
Miles has to leave the country. Please.
Adam walks out past Nina, his head bent.
Oh, no.
Well, this is all a bit bloody.
Agatha grins inanely up at Archie. Nina follows Adam out. He stands in the corridor, his hands tucked in his pockets. Nina wanders tentatively up behind him.
I thought you were never going to speak to me again.
Well, it had happened, didn't it?
He moves away from her and leans against a wall, pressing his head against it, his eyes closed.
Agatha's looking better than I expected.
Oh, Nina.
Hesitant, she steps towards him.
What is it, darling?
Oh, Nina, what a lot of parties.
I know.
She strokes his hair.
Oh. You're so hot.
Masked parties, savage parties, Victorian parties, Greek parties, Wild West parties, Russian parties, circus parties, parties where you have to dress as somebody else, almost naked parties in St. John's Wood, parties in flats and studios and houses and ships and hotels and nightclubs in swimming baths and windmills.
Tears glisten in his eyes.
Dances in London so dull. Comic dances in Scotland and disgusting dances in the suburbs. All that succession and repetition of massed humanity. All those vile bodies. And now a party in a mental hospital. Come back with me to Lottie's tonight.
No.
Please.
Ginger wouldn't like it.
Nina, do you love him?
Oh, Adam, how can you ask?
She turns away.
Then why?
Oh, Adam, how can you ask?
Money. Bloody money.
Her back to Adam, she slaps her arms against her sides, then turns to him.
It's all very well to look down on money, but a girl's got to look after herself these days.
Come and dine with me at Lottie's.
He goes to her.
Ginger wouldn't understand.
Last time, Nina.
She fights her emotions.
Well,
they fall into each other's arms. A nun paces at the end of the corridor. Her head buried in Adam's shoulder, Nina pulls away and looks into Adam's eyes.
I believe you knew I was going to. Oh, darling. If only you were as rich as Ginger. Or even half as rich.
The nuns.
Really? Cocktails and gramophones in a sick room. Who ever heard of such a thing? Out you go, apparently.
Nina and Adam arrive at the Shepherd's Hotel. Lottie is at reception.
Hello, dears.
Hello, Lottie.
Hello, Basilio.
Buonasera, Miss Brown.
Nasty, angry fellow in here for you today. Look like a debt collector. Vulgar moustache. I told him you'd gone to Newcastle. Don't like debt collectors. What about my little bill?
The couple share a look.
We were thinking of a spot of dinner first.
In the dining room, dear? Of course not. I'll have Basilio bring it up to your room.
Adam grins gratefully, then he and Nina walk to the stairs, his hand pressed lovingly against her back. Watching them, Lottie sighs. At the hospital...
Darling, out to Divine. How are you? How are you? How angelic of you all to come. Ouch!
A nun injects her.
Only you must take care not to fall out of the corners. I wish I knew which thing was which in this car. Darling, do try and drive straight. Faster. Faster. Faster.
The nun stares solemnly down at her. At the Shepherd's Hotel, Nina sits on the edge of Adam's bed, doing up the white cuff of her dress. She gets to her feet and goes to a cabinet, where she picks up her earrings and puts them back on. She glances back at the bed where Adam lies gazing at her. She walks towards him, briefly meeting his intense gaze, then turns away. Stepping up to the mantelpiece, Nina picks up a black and white photograph.
That was the first day I met you. Agatha and I came down to Oxford to visit Miles.
He keeps staring steadily at her. Her smile fades and she suddenly looks awkward, putting the photo back on the mantelpiece. She toys with her engagement ring as she moves back towards the bed.
You don't seem to be enjoying yourself very much this evening.
Sorry. Am I being a bore?
She swallows back tears.
I suppose I should go home now, really.
Yes.
He keeps his sorrowful gaze fixed on her. She stands toying uncomfortably with the bed knob.
What's the matter?
He sits up.
Give anything in the world for something different.
Yes, but you don't have anything.
They kiss deeply, and then Adam buries his face in her shoulder. She clings to his naked torso.
You do give me pain, you know.
She nuzzles against him.
Such pain.
They hold each other close in the dim light of the room. Later, fully dressed in a grey tweed suit and waistcoat, Adam trots down the stairs into the lobby.
So, your little bird has flown, has she? Sit down and have a glass of wine, eh? That's it.
He goes over to Lottie.
Now, dear, what about my bill?
Ah, yes. Of course. Well, I have it made out and sent up for me.
I've got it here.
She picks it up.
Bless you. What a lot you seem to have drunk.
He takes it.
Well, thank you so much. I'll send you down a cheque.
No, dear. Suppose you write it down here. Here's the pen. Here's the ink. And, oh, here's a blank chequebook.
He takes the pen.
All right.
He writes the cheque.
£78. 16 shillings.
And tuppence for the cheque.
He smiles as he writes.
And tuppence. Charlie Chaplin. There.
He hands it to her.
Adam Fenwick Symes. What a childish scrawl. Charlie Chaplin, indeed.
Private joke.
Look who's turned up. If it's Mr. Archerdo. Come in and have a glass, dear.
It's Ginger.
You know, I knew you before you were born.
Yes, hello, Lottie. Look here, Symes, I want to speak to you. Perhaps we might go somewhere where we won't be disturbed.
Bless you, boys. You just have a nice chat. There's no one in the bar parlour. I won't bother you. I have lots to do.
They start to go.
And may the best man win.
Well, what I'm about to say is that what I'm about to say may sound damned unpleasant, you know, and all that, but look here, you know, damn it. I mean, the better man has one.
Morning.
Not that I'm saying that I'm the better man. I wouldn't say that for a moment. Awful bad luck on you and all that, but still, when you come to think of it, I mean, look here, you know, damn it. Do you see what I mean?
Adam furrows his brow.
Not quite. Is it something about Nina?
Yes, it is. We are engaged. I'm not having you butting in or there'll be hell to pay.
What makes you think I'm butting in?
Oh, hang it all. You dined with her last night and stayed out jolly late, too.
How do you know we stayed out jolly late?
Well, as a matter of fact, I had to talk to her about something jolly important, and I called her up once or twice and didn't get an answer until 3 o'clock. I
suppose you rang her every 10 minutes.
Well,
Adam moves away.
Not as often as all that. I've known her since we were children. Used to play with her, a friend of the family. I mean, I know you were sort of engaged, but believe me, I had her photo by my bed in Ceylon. That sounds rather wet, but there you are.
Ginger follows Adam.
I mean, thing is, I trust her. I mean, of course I trust her. I don't kid myself. No oil painting. She doesn't like my tash, but upper lip's got a birthmark on it.
You're saying she doesn't love you?
You're brainy. You don't have a port wine stain in your upper lip. You may be broke, but girls are odd.
He stares at Adam.
I want you to promise me...
How much is she worth to you?
Come again?
I'll sell her to you.
Good God, damn it.
I'll sell my share in Nina for £100.
You pretend to be in love with her and you talk about her like that. It's not decent.
Ginger looks shocked.
Right. £100 is a deuce of a lot. Just put a deposit of £500 down a place in Charles Street. Investments going up and down, marriage isn't cheap, you know?
£100 down and I leave Nina to you. I think it's cheap.
He squares up to Ginger.
50.
100.
75.
100?
Damned if I'll pay any more than 75.
I'll take £78, 16 shillings and tuppence. I can't go lower than that.
Adam turns and walks away.
All right.
Ginger takes out his checkbook.
You really will go away?
I'll try, Ginger.
He writes the cheque and looks up at Adam.
Only shows what an escape Nina's had, poor girl.
He hands Adam the cheque.
I don't think you're a gentleman, sir.
Adam looks glumly down at it.
Neither do I.
Adam strides away. At home, Nina, wearing a negligee and a robe, answers the phone.
Miss Blunt's resident.
Nina, it's Adam.
Oh, hello, darling. I thought you might be Ginger. I woke up feeling I couldn't face him. He rang up last night just as I got in and... Anyway, I don't think I want to marry him after all.
So, Nina, rather strange things happened. Lottie presented her bill.
Oh, Adam, what did you do?
Well, I did something rather extraordinary. My dear, I sold you.
Darling, who to?
Ginger. You came round in a bait. You fetched £78 and 16 shillings.
Well.
And tuppence. Goodbye, Nina.
She moves the phone away from her ear and her face crumples. Adam hangs up. The goatee-bearded King of Anatolia approaches him.
Sir, how may I thank you? You find my pen with little eagles. God bless you. God bless you. I am mad with joy.
He kisses Adam on each cheek.
Oi!
Not at all, sir.
Come and listen to the wireless. The funniest thing.
They follow Lottie into the parlour.
That they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany.
A shocked Adam lowers his gaze. The wireless is switched off. Everyone in the room turns to regard Adam. He looks away, blinking his eyes. A bomb explodes on a battlefield. Smoke and shrapnel fill the sky. A soldier runs through the debris holding onto his hat.
Dearest dear, I'm so glad you wrote back at last. How proud of you I am. Everyone says you should have a VC.
The soldier Adam charges on.
Now, darling, the baby is called Tommy. And he looks so like a miniature you. Of course, Ginger is convinced that he's the father. He and little Tommy are in a ghastly house in Platt Street, but Angel, guess where I'm living now to be near my new job? Shepherd's Hotel, of all places. Do hurry home, darling. They've started bombing London, which is horrid.
Penderhall!
Adam raises his hands.
I say, it's all right! I'm English!
He approaches the officer.
I'm English!
Hello. Hard to tell in this smoke.
My God, you're the drunk major.
I'm not drunk, damn you, sir! And what's more, I'm a general. What the deuce are you doing here?
Well, to tell the truth, sir, I've lost my platoon.
Lost your platoon? I've lost my whole bloody division.
Is it all over, sir?
Hard to say, frankly. Thing to do is head to the beaches and see if the Navy can pick us up. Not that things are any better in London. They bombed St. James's last night. Shepherd's Hotel, flattened. Poor old Lottie. Hang on, Lottie. I know you from her, don't I? Owe you some money.
£34,000.
£34,005. Never forget a debt. Looked for you everywhere before this scrap started. Even went to bloody Newcastle. Might as well give you a check here and now.
Shepherd's Hotel, completely gone.
Yep, all dead. Name?
Adam Fenwick Symes.
He looks up at Adam.
Shared a trench with a major Fenwick Symes during the last show.
My father.
He played the fool too. Or was it the violin? Ha! There you go.
Thank you.
Got a case of bubbly in the car. Let's see if there's any life in it.
Adam follows him towards the car. A bomb drops onto the bridge where the car is parked and it's swallowed up in a bright ball of fire. Night, a vast black sea, the tips of the rippling waves glistening in the moonlight. In the distance, the looming white cliffs of Dover gleam in an opalescent light. In a vast blacked-out hall with an arched roof, a campfire burns. The flames flicker in the darkness, the smoke wafting upwards. Soldiers wearing tin hats with blankets wrapped round their shoulders sit around it. A friendly-faced charwoman brings the mugs of tea. The men, their faces caked in grime, take them gratefully. One soldier hangs his head, holding the bridge of his nose between his fingers. Across the hall, a lantern casts a little light.
I would have been blown away on the beach by them Stukas, sir. Bloody miracle, eh?
Adam stands in the shadows.
Yes. Bloody miracle.
His dirty face looks grey in the half-light.
Are we in Dover?
A soldier brings over a lantern.
That's right, sir.
Adam takes it and strides over to a door.
Break open this door.
It's customs and excise property, sir.
Break it open, private.
Sir?
The private uses the butt of his rifle to bash open the door. The private follows Adam through.
You sure you know what you're doing, sir?
There's something of mine in here. At least, it might still be here.
Adam opens a drawer in the custom and excise office and takes out a bundle of papers. He finds his manuscript and studies the title page in the lamplight, Bright Young Things by Sue Deneen.
So what brings you to sunny Platt Street?
I just came to see you and the boy.
Adam's with a moustacheless Ginger.
Can't offer you much to drink.
Ginger eyes an empty bottle.
Well done on all those medals. If it hadn't been for my fallen arches, my asthma.
Absolutely.
Tommy! Turn that row off. Come meet your godfather. Sorry, we didn't ask your permission. Nina didn't think you'd mind.
A bonny-faced little boy marches in. Adam grins.
Hello, Tommy. I'm Adam.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Ginger wipes some cups.
Ginger, did they ever find Nina?
Nina? She's having a whale of a time at the factory.
She's alive.
Of course she is.
Then I thought everyone at Shepherd's was killed.
Nina was on night shift. No, she'll be back later.
He gives Adam a drink.
So war's been all right for some.
Adam swallows it down as Ginger sits.
I'm going to be arrested.
Arrested?
Bloodiest thing. Try to help people out. A little petrol here. Some of life's little luxuries there. I mean, dash it, war can't all be misery. Anyway, I've had everything confiscated. I'm going to be arrested.
Are you a soldier?
Yes, Tommy, I am.
The rules are so damnably unfair. All right, for some. I just had some cash. I can make it to Ireland and over to America. They appreciate people like me in the States.
Adam stands and turns to look at Ginger, then removes his cap.
How much? How much do you need?
Adam picks up a suitcase.
Well, a lot of people to Sweden on the way.
How would 34,000 do?
Ginger stands.
34,000? Pounds.
And five. I'll buy Nina and Tommy off you for 34,000 and five.
He opens the case. Inside is a stash of money.
Haven't we done this before?
Night. Little Tommy sits on the carpeted floor of the living room in the house at Platt Street. He wears a robe over his pyjamas and a fire burns brightly in the hearth behind him, filling the room with a warm glow. Out of uniform, Adam sits on the sofa with a robe over a white stiff-collared shirt. He stares thoughtfully at the cover of his manuscript, then flicks through it. Out in the lampless street, Nina, plainly dressed in trousers, blouse, overalls and coat, strides home, her makeup-free face set in an expressionless gaze. In the house at Platt Street, Adam gets to his feet and places the manuscript on the fire as Tommy plays. Flames lick around it. Out in the street, Nina paces on, her face pale in the darkness. Inside, wearing chunky black boots, Nina climbs the stairs, which are strewn with candles, the yellow glow lighting her way.
Ginger?
She climbs on.
Are you drunk?
Nina follows arrows made from newspaper which have been stuck to the wall. She pushes open the door to the study.
Whereas I, Ginger Littlejohn, in consideration of the sum of £34,005, do relinquish all claims on my wife Nina Littlejohn and son Thomas Edward. Signed, Ginger Littlejohn.
The room is full of candles.
Have I been sold again?
Adam turns to face her.
Do you mind terribly?
Have we any money left?
None at all.
He puts on a record.
Huh?
Now wearing a long black dinner jacket over his white shirt, Adam steps towards her and takes her in his arms. They cling to each other, Nina wrapping her arms around Adam as though she'll never let him go. They pull apart slightly and gaze into each other's eyes as they start to dance. They lose themselves in each other as they move slowly round, their bodies pressed against each other. Nina runs a finger tenderly along Adam's jaw, then takes his face in her hands and they kiss hungrily. Nina wraps her arms tightly around Adam. He buries his face in her neck, his eyes closed. Tommy lies in the adjoining room, sleeping on the sofa near the fire. Both rooms are lit by the soft glow of numerous candles. In the study, Adam twirls Nina, then pulls her back towards him, holding her close. They kiss passionately, Nina lifting her feet off the floor, her knees bent. Adam spins round, then Nina lets her feet drop back onto the ground. They beam at each other as they step gently round. Adam, with his arms clasped around Nina's waist, Nina runs her fingers through Adam's hair, letting her hands rest on the top of his head. The screen fades to black. Print on a piece of paper in a typewriter reads Bright Young Things. Typed underneath it, the end. ITFC audio description by Lonnie Evans and Amy Dilarabiti was read by Amy Dilarabiti. Directed by Stephen Fry. Produced by Gina Carter, Miranda Davis. Executive producers Andrew Eaton, Michael Winterbottom, Stephen Fry. Executive producers Chris Ante, Neil Peplow. Executive producers Jim Reeve, Steve Robbins. Co-producer Caroline Hewitt. Director of Photography, Henry Braham, BSc. Production Design, Michael Howells. Film Editor, Alex McKee, ACE. Music, Anne Dudley. Costume Design, Nick Eid. Makeup and Hair Design, Peter King. Casting, Wendy Brazington. Jim Carter, Adrian Scarborough, John Mills, Bruno Lastra, Nigel Planer, Alec Newman, Nicholas LePrevost, Harriet Walter, Lisa Jackson, Lisa Dillon, Richard E. Grant, Stockard Channing, Simon McBurney, Simon Callow, Peter O'Toole. Bill Patterson, Imelda Staunton, Guy Henry, Alex Barkley, Julia McKenzie, Jim Broadbent, Dan Aykroyd, James McAvoy, David Tennant, Michael Sheen, Fenella Woolgar, Emily Mortimer, Stephen Campbell Moore. Cast in order of appearance, Simon McBurney, Sneath, Michael Sheen, Miles, Emily Mortimer, Nina, James McAvoy, Simon Balcairn, Stephen Campbell Moore, Adam, Stockard Channing, Mrs. Melrose Ape, Adrian Scarborough, Customs Officer, Jim Carter, Chief Customs Officer, Fenella Woolgar, Agatha, Dan Aykroyd, Lord Monomark, Julia McKenzie, Lottie Crump, Bruno Lastra, Basilio, David Tennant, Ginger, Jim Broadbent, The Drunken Major, John Franklin Robbins, Judge, Simon Callow, King of Anatolia, Guy Henry, Archie, Alex Barkley, Vanbrugh, Lisa Dillon, Jane Brown, Lisa Jackson, Mary Mouse, Neville Phillips, Ambrose, Imelda Staunton, Lady Brown, Bill Patterson, Sir James Brown, Nigel Planer, Taxi Driver, Peter O'Toole, Colonel Blount, Toby and Tiger, themselves, Stephen Fry, Chauffeur, Jamie Jackson Ritchie, Arundel Paperboy, Arturo Venegas, Alphonse. Harriet Walter, Lady Maitland, Angela Thorne, Kitty Blackwater, Margaret Tysack, Lady Throbbing, Richard E. Grant, Father Rothschild, John Mills, Gentleman, Nicholas Le Prevost, Lord Maitland. Ian Hughes, Night Editor. Alec Newman, Tiger. Alan Williams, Bookie. Mark Hardy, Angry Gentleman. Gerard Horan, Race Official. Tony Maudsley, Race Steward. Nigel Hume, Plunkett Bowes. Johnny Mackle, Edwards. Mark Gattis, House Agent. Ivan Marvich, Foreign Dignitary. Rebecca Statton, Imperial Hotel Receptionist. Paul Popplewell, Private. Max MacDonald, Tommy. Music Supervisor Karen Elliott for Hothouse Music Limited. Music produced by Anne Dudley and Roger Dudley. Music orchestrated and conducted by Anne Dudley. Music recorded and mixed at Angel Studios, London. Recorded and mixed by Niall Acott and Steve Price. Assisted by Matt Bartram. Music contractor Isabel Griffiths Limited. Orchestra leader Richard Studd. Solo clarinet Ian Dixon. With special thanks to the London Film Commission, Somerset House, Jeff Smith, the American School in London, the Motoring Heritage Centre, the Poor School, Max Factor Cosmetics, Moët & Chandon Champagne, Danker UK PLC, Alfred Dunhill Limited, Olympus Cameras, the Brooklands Museum. Spode, Fired Earth Interiors, Anag Lipta, Colfax and Fowler, Wedgwood, Osram Limited, Esther Eyre, Gerard & Co. Limited, Lalique, Purton Signs. Filmed on location in and around London, England and at Pinewood Studios. International distribution, The Works. Supported by the National Lottery through UK Film Council. UK Film Council, lottery funded. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any actual persons living or dead is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Copyright 2003, Bright Young Films Limited and the Film Consortium Limited.